Let's open in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord God. We thank you that you've given us your word and your spirit, Lord. We pray that in this time as we've gathered together this morning, you would touch our hearts, Lord. You would open our minds of our understanding, and Lord, by your spirit, do a work. For Lord, man is unable to do this, Lord God, and Lord, our hearts so often are resistant, but Lord God, you're able to do all things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Had a conversation last week, which was interesting and just reminded me of a lot of things from my own life. And so I've put a sermon together around that area, and it's the area of worry. Bible tells us about, it defines it as weights and snares. Sometimes that's what it can be, but it just if we've got a Bible, Luke chapter 12 and verses 22 through 32, well, first of all, look at the folly of worry. Actually, before I go even into that, I'll give you a little bit of testimony on it all. I was a worrier. If you're a worrier, I could out-worry you. And if I wasn't worrying, I was worrying why I wasn't worrying. And so it was you always had this rumbly feeling in your stomach going round and round. I thought that was normal because that's what it was for me. That was what was normal. And it's so easy. And for some of us, we are more prevalent to certain things and problems than others. Other people, it's always a sunny day. But for some of us, others, it's always what's coming next. And so that's how I was. And over time, I got saved. I started living for God and asking God, how do I get out of this? And, you know, take this away from me, like you do, don't you? And God just says, follow my word. And doing just simply following what God told me to follow. One day I woke up and thought, I've not been worrying. What's wrong? that's what's wrong? I've not been worrying. And I hadn't got that awful feeling of doom in my stomach. And it's just simply removed by the fact of following the word of God. I don't know how. I do know why. Because as we do what God says, and we do that, and actually the answer's in the scripture I'm about to read to you in a moment. God is able to take that away from us. And there's hope. If you're the worst worrier out this morning, you can be healed from that. You can be cured from that. You can be released from that because God's power is in there. If we'll allow God to do his work, we simply follow his word, he will release, he can release you from that. I can't promise it'll be today. It isn't like one of those things you come down and we lay hands on. It's great when that happens, isn't it? When there's issues like that, it's usually sicknesses or even demons being cast out. But that's fine, and that's one thing. Other things, we have to go through the process that God has prescribed.
Yeah.
He's a good doctor.
Yeah.
And as we do that, he brings healing to our lives. So that's just a little bit of testimony before we go there. Let's go into the scripture. Got a lot of scripture for you today. May go off at tangents, I don't know. Phil looked at my notes, said you're preaching from that. So yes, I am. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither of which neither storehouse nor barn, and the God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Let's just leave it there for a second. So he's telling us the folly of worrying. He's telling us, why are we doing this? God cares for you, and he just demonstrates that through these examples that he gives. The birds of the air, the lilies, the fields, the flowers of the fields, and so much. Does he not care for you? Oh, you of little faith. And there is a little statement there which sort of hits a lot of the nail on the head. It's because we don't, and I'm speaking from experience, we're not trusting in God. Okay, come to more of that in a minute. Verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor be anxious and have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. So God knows. It's not like he's forgotten. But here's the answer. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All these things, the things that are necessary in life, not necessarily your wants and desires, in that sense, so I prefer a Rolls Royce or a Porsche to the car that I'm driving. No, he would deal with your needs. He deals with our needs, and he's a promising there to do that, that if we would trust in God, if we would put our faith in him, if we'd understand that he does know our needs before we ask. So that we should not then be concerned so much about the rest of the things. The key is right there. Are you of little faith? You see, what I was doing in my life, I wasn't tidy in the sense of a tidy room. Certainly not. I wrote a test to this. I've had a lot of training, 50 years of training. I've got a lot better. But my room was always a mess. But I always wanted in life to have control. Control. And I'd work it out. Well, if this happens, that's what I'll do. If that happens, I'll do. And if it's this, it's that. You've got this like Venn diagram, this diagram of all these bits going here, there, and everywhere. You've got it all. How do you keep it in your head? And guess what? None of it ever happened. But you got all these plans and thoughts and ideas around it all. Why? Because I want control. And I can still fall into it, can't I, babe? And it's a bad thing. I had to learn that, you know, Mark Rhoda said to me once, you're too good. What do you mean I'm too good? Not in the sense of being a good person. In the sense of, you think you're good at everything. You think you can do it all yourself. You can't. And if you think that, God will let you fall. He will teach you, let you learn a lesson that actually, you might, there's nothing wrong in being organised, don't get me wrong. It's good to be organised, sorted, things ready. That helps in life and that is wonderful. But you know, it doesn't matter if it's a little bit out of place here and there. Yeah? We haven't got to get all freaked out about that. And you can't plan for everything. Now, I know some of you got a real big occasion coming up and you've got lots of planning to get on with. And it's not easy. And somebody somewhere, if they haven't already done so, will stick a spanner in your works. And you're like, ah! Yeah? And that's true in all kinds of areas of life. And I would like a smooth life, an easy life. A life where there was no uphills, where it was all nicely going along. And if it was uphill, there'd be an escalator to take you nicely up. And you could get the view without all the effort. And it's not good for you. That's not how it's going to be. Even God, in his wisdom, in the days when they entered the land, they left some of the enemy there so that the next generation would learn to fight. We're not meant to have it all smooth and easy. I've learned mostly in the hard times. It's the hard times that teach us. God will keep us. If we would seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm too busy to do this. I can't do that because I'm concerned about this and I've got to get that. No, seek God. And he will sort the other out. Psalm 118:8, he says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I think that one doesn't so much need saying, but it's so true. But I have to add on that, including yourself. We try and work it out. We try and keep control. Life is not like that, and you're in for a hard lesson if you think you're going to manage it. You won't. Now, faith isn't always logical. It's contrary, absolutely, to what the world says. For instance, love your enemies. Given it shall be given to you. Who you is greatest of all will be servant of all. Doesn't make sense, does it? Not to the world, but as we put those things into practice, God is able to do it. There was a president of the state, United States, who made a statement which you'll be used to hearing, which is Roosevelt. He said that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. C.H. Spurgeon said this: anxiety does not empty the morrow of its sorrows, but it empties today of its strength. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Prepare to do that. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, with the proviso of the next part of the verse, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Does that mean everything's going to go great? No. Well, in reality it is. But in the process, it isn't what necessarily we want. We would prefer it easy. We would prefer it nice and smooth. We would prefer it without the problems. But you know what? That trains us in righteousness. It trains us in faith. It trains us to trust God. Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. You take your eyes off the ball. You take your eyes off God. And the problem, straightforwardly, we said this tons of times from this pulpit, both Keith, myself, have said it, and others have said it in testimonies and bits and pieces. Things are not going to be easy at the end times. Things are, for us, I don't think things are going to get easier. Things turn around on a sixpence, if you ever heard of one of those. They turn around just like that. Overnight, things are so, so different. Change of person in power. Boom, it all goes haywire. Things that once were are no longer anymore. And that's how it is. And I think it'll be a lot like that in the days to come. That things will just change very, very quickly. We've had our warnings for the last 10, 15 years. We have, as churches. We've had out of the understanding, we've seen a decline of the churches in the Western world in particular. They've gone downhill, believing this, believing that, believing anything, going for all manner of things, but not going for Christ. Yes. And so if you've been observing, you should have been observing, and you should be aware, you should have your ear attuned to what is truth and what is false teaching. How? By knowing your word. Yeah. And being in tune with the Holy Spirit. The warning's there, but we're coming to the time of day when the birth pangs are getting fast. Philippians 4:19, a nice promise. And my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. That's nice, isn't it? Now, I'm not a one to say, here's the promises, just take those. And we've already said what the rationale behind it is. As we serve God, as we go and we seek first the kingdom of God, these are promises that we can get a hold of, lay a hold of, and say, that is mine in Jesus, because he has promised that to us. That's faith. Okay. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, you worriers, you've heard all these verses. Yeah. You've probably had them pointed out to you before. God has possibly said to you, when you're in the midst of the worrying, here's a verse for you, and that might be one of them. Yeah? Can I encourage you to take a hold of that by faith. Make it your own. Don't make it just a verse in the Bible that we can point to, but make it your very own, so that is a reality of your life. We sing a song, don't we, sometimes? He is our peace. He is our peace. That doesn't mean that things will always be peaceful, but we have peace in the midst of trials many times. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. This is seeking first the kingdom. The rest of the things don't matter. They're not important. There might be things that we have to get involved with. We have to go to our work. We have to do a manner of things. But the reality is, seek first the kingdom. All the rest is just loss in comparison. Isaiah 41, back in the Old Testament, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you.
Amen.
Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I like that. I nearly missed the word, important word out there. My righteous right hand. To do what is right in his sight. He'll uphold you with that. The world will tell you all manner of stuff. It'll tell you all manner of ways to get around things. It'll tell you all manner of means. Well, if you do this, you won't have that problem. If you just, you know, put a few quid on the horse here, your money problems will go away. No, your money will go away. Oh, dear. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, stand upon something. What are you standing on? You can stand on sinking sand, or you can stand on a rock. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. There's an individuality about this. There's a specificality around you as an individual. Sorry about that. He goes on, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they shall not, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, yet you shall not be burned, nor shall flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Serbia in your place. See, it's not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to say the rivers don't come up and round you. It's not saying the fires don't come up and are there. He says you go through the flame. But you shall not be scorched. Revelations 1, 17 and 18, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he said, he laid at his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Why is this important? Don't be afraid. Why? I'm the first and the last. In other words, I've seen it from the beginning. I've seen it to the end. There is nothing that's past God's attention. There and in between. It's all there. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. So not even the relative unknown area of what we see of death. He's been there and come back.
Hallelujah.
And I am alive forevermore. So what have we got to fear? He says, you haven't got to even worry about Hades and death. I have the keys of Hades and death, is what he's saying. No problem for you that believe. Romans 10, 17 says this. Now you talk about faith. Where do we get this faith from? We talk, how do we serve God? How do we put God first? How do we It says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. It's simple as that. We believe God, we see his word, we read his word, and we believe that word enough to put it into practice. Are you practicing his word? That's the question. That's the reality. That's the truth. That's your need. That's the answer. Second Timothy 1:7. And this is a good one for the whole picture as well. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Three elements to that. What has he not given us? We don't have to fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear. If you've got a spirit of fear, it's not from God. Simple as that. But the Spirit of God gives us power. Power to do what? Power to live righteously. Power to stand before an obnoxious world and be righteous. Power to tell the truth. Power to live the truth. Power to be different. Power to live this life beyond the limited availability of our own ability. And of love. Of love, though you read 1 Corinthians, you can do all manner of things, 1 Corinthians 13, but without it, we're just a noise, a sounding cymbal, or as my wife would call it, a racket. And of a sound mind. There's a lot of nutters out there. Let's just call it what it is. Why pretend to be, you know, polite about it? There's some of them are in the church. I'm not saying this church, I hope not. But they're not, come on. I mean, there are some absolutely bonkers things out there. It's in the church and the world. They often stick them on YouTube and then they all go, oh, well, if that's true, we're not having that. And to be honest, if I was looking at it from that point of view, I would say the same. Because it's crazy. But he's given us, those that will follow the word of God, this is what he gives us, a sound mind. A sensible mind. You know, I used to think common sense was common. It isn't common. There are a bunch of crazies out there. It is very uncommon, common sense. People do mad things. Why have you done that? Oh, I felt like it. You know, it's beyond reason. I've got to go get off this because I'm going to get bogged down in their craziness. Romans 1:17. So therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Where are you getting this faith? You're getting it from the word. How does that work? By putting the word of God into practice. By believing what God has said is true and doing it. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's keep the circle round, shall we? Okay. Thank God. I'm coming to a close, actually. Spotted that of myself. We are no longer limited by our own resources. Amen. That's isn't that great?
Yes.
No longer limited to the abilities that you have. You no longer have to work it out. You no longer have to rely on your plans, your ideas, your ways, your thoughts, your rationale, but you can trust in what God says.
Amen.
I'm going to close in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a lot in there, just in that very short. Be anxious for nothing. So what can we be anxious about? Nothing. We shouldn't have any anxiety. Look at your faces. No anxiety. But in everything. So whatever it is, good or bad, by prayer and supplication, that we pray to God, that we ask God, that we continue to ask God if we don't know the answers come through. We keep having a supplication towards him. And with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because when we thank him, we're believing it's going to happen. Do you see? Let your requests be made known to God. Even in all of that, we can't demand of God. That's presumptuous. Okay? But we put our requests to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God will be there. It doesn't mean everything's all sorted out because you've prayed. That would be nice, but it's not true. It means that now you've handed it over to God. There it is. And you've not said, there it is, Lord, and took it away and took it back out with you, like some of us have done in the past. You've left it with God. You said, God, it's there, it's with you. I don't understand it, I don't know how, but now it's given to you, I can have peace in my heart. And he gives you the peace. Yes. It's not a false peace that you've somehow drummed up and worked up and created in your own mind. But it doesn't just say that. Which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So you won't be bogged down. You won't be in the, what's the word, dissipation, I think is the right word there. Bringing you into depression. It'll guard your hearts. Because why does it need guarding? Because the enemy will come back and say, oh, that's not gone away yet, has it? Oh, no, I've got you now. Shield of faith. What has God said? Guard your hearts and your minds, because it's often in there, isn't it? Yeah. Spinning round like a loop tape. Same thing over and over and over and over. No, God is able to cut that, deal with it. And bring us to that place of a guarded heart and a guarded mind through Christ Jesus. That's what it says. Not through anything else, not through somebody's clever preaching, not through somebody's positive thinking booklet, not through a million and one other things that this world has, but through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to leave it there because I'll only continue to make it more complex than it actually is. Amen. Let's pray.